Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you see how the gospel of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily lives and compels us toward gratitude and generosity. All right, well, welcome back to Abound in Hope. Thanks for joining us this week. I am Rex Gorman, and I am in the state-of-the-art Imprint studio with...
Hey, this is Tom Krieger.
And I'm Darren Larson.
And we also have a very special guest with us today. Very special guest. Why don't you introduce yourself to us?
Hello, I'm Molly Sindelar.
Yeah, Molly has been a part of Imprint Church for a long time. The Sindelar family is a special family. So can you maybe, some people probably know who you guys are. Can you give a quick rundown of who's in your family and what makes your family unique and your passion, I guess. What makes
yes,
you excited?
Absolutely. So, again, I'm Molly. I have my husband, Justin. We've been married about 13 years, and we have two kiddos. Zeke is 8, and Isla is about to be 5. Unique things about our family. Well, let's just say we love Jesus, and we also walk a really hard road on a daily basis with a lot of medical needs. And that has made life very interesting for sure and difficult, but there's a lot that we are learning and growing in our faith with that.
Well, praise the Lord for that.
Can I say something really quick
too? Sure.
A lot of you might recognize the Sindelar's name because we've watched them do something super compelling over the years. Probably one of the most beautiful pictures of the gospel in the scriptures is we watch them adopt their kiddos as well.
Oh, thank you.
And that has been a privilege for our church to see that and watch you guys do that. So many of you probably don't know, many of our listeners probably don't know your stories of kind of the health things you just mentioned, but a lot of our listeners know your story of adoption. And so thank you for letting us share in that beautiful and cool thing that you guys have been a part of.
Well, we'd love to share it with you. Yeah. It's so special.
Yeah. Well, it's an honor. Well, we are in week 2 of a series on the fruit of the Spirit. Last week, we talked about love. And this week, we're talking about joy. And I can't help but think, you know, the good Sunday school Christian kid in me thinks, I've got the joy down in.
I've heard that song.
I bet you have.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised. McGregor, have you heard that?
Unfortunately.
Oh, man. Well, we've talked about the fruit of the Spirit a little bit last week and in general, just as those being something that are cultivated in us by the work of the Holy Spirit. But there's also a joining and a partnership with the Holy Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit that leads to these fruit developing. Hmm. So joy. Joy seems a funny, especially after the past year and a half that we've had. A lot of people have seemed to live in a funk of some kind, or have been down low. What does joy have to do with our daily lives? How would we define joy, and from a Christian perspective?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, I think a lot of times we kind of combine joy and happiness together.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And think that they're the same, that they're equal. And I think a lot of times there's some similarities between joy and happiness. I think we find that to be true. And so I don't want to negate that idea that joy can be a deep sense of happiness. But I think joy is something significantly deeper and probably more elusive to us than happiness. As strange as that sounds, because happiness can come and go so quickly, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like, I can be happy one minute and the next minute I'm like down in the dregs of despair. And it's strange to have those emotions. So at some level, maybe a question I'd have for you guys, can we define in some ways happiness more of emotion and joy as something different than an emotion out of curiosity?
Yeah. What do you think, Molly?
I definitely have my notes on this and I feel like it's something that I've learned a lot about in the last years. But happiness to me definitely is an emotion that comes and goes with our situations. And it kind of feels like happiness is much more surface level in my mind. And joy, I have just learned how deep that actually is with my relationship with the Lord and the Holy Spirit at work. It just cultivates and really from that we get to produce fruit in that way. And I just think it's just, happiness is, I feel like, is very fleeting. Like it's just there one minute and gone the next. And especially with circumstances, if it's a happy circumstance, yay, we are happy and we use the word joy and everything's joyful. But if things get really hard, where does that go? And what are we left with?
Yeah. So.
And can you find that joy in the place of despair and feeling emotionally down, you know? Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I, for me personally, I have a hard time with the word joy. Not because like I'm anti-joy or anything or like an Eeyore, but, you know, I'm like a thoroughly modern American dude, and joy equals happiness. It equals my emotional state. And when I read about it in the Bible, it's a weird, it's a religious word. Joy feels like a religious word. Like we tout it out
just
for Christmas.
Christmas, totally.
Joy to the world. Yeah. We sing the carol and then like dig in. So I like in preparation for this, I went like Bible searching, like what is joy all about? And it's so weird because like some of it is a sense of satisfaction, it seems like. So what I like to do is I'll pull up the concordance of every time the word shows up and then take the word out and replace it with, you know, blank or the Hebrew or Greek word or whatever, and then try and get a sense of what the context is. And it seems like there's like, this is what like the last couple of days I've been doing. So this isn't like a thoroughly thought through thing, but it seems like there's an element of satisfaction, but also celebration. And there's the emotional stuff too. There are emotional words in there too, but it's not exclusively in the realm of emotion.
Well, that's interesting, because last week in talking about love a little bit, we talked about distinguishing between
a preference,
the warm fuzzies and a deep commitment of love. So are you saying joy and happiness are similar, where there can be some warm fuzzy emotional part of it, but you can also have this deep lasting, this deeper joy that doesn't necessarily correlate with happiness. Just like when you love someone, you do things for them, and that is an act of love, even if you aren't feeling it. Is it similar to that?
I don't know. I think so. This is all in my head, not in my experience. Like I haven't thought back through my experience. So like, you know, Molly, you're going to fill in some of the existential stuff, and Darren will fill in all the Bible stuff. For me, I'm filling in the questions. Maybe
what are you saying?
Yeah, maybe I'm filling in the spot of the listener right now. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I'm sure I experience joy. I'm sure I have joy. I do rejoice in the Lord. Like, I'm blown away with wonder often, because we live in a magical universe imbued with his creativity. But I don't know. No, that's all I have to say about that. I won't pass it on.
No, I appreciate the questions and the things you'd bring up, and I think that's a good thing. It reminds me, especially of what Molly just defined in some ways as joy, because it reminded me last week, as I was kind of processing this after we finished the Love podcast, I started to think about what joy really was too, and like, what is it? What does it mean to have joy? What does it mean to not have joy? Mm-hmm. And the way I thought of it was this way, like what truly makes you happy in life, I would say. Like, and I know we're trying to delineate a little bit between
satisfaction.
Happiness. What brings you satisfaction in life? Seriously. And then, we would talk about all kinds of, we might as well bring the Rolling Stones in
here too. They're pretty litigious though, so we might want to hold off.
don't sing that song, or this will get booted off our pod. And so I had to ask myself, what would I need to have in my life that I didn't have right now that would bring me that satisfaction? Or maybe a better question is that if I got that thing, would I be having the thing that I'm actually looking for? Does that make sense? And if so, would that bring me that deep sense of satisfaction that I need? And I wondered if that's a little bit of the existential piece of joy, because it seems to me scripturally, almost everything can be torn from you. Like in my thinking, like, is it everything can be torn from you? There's not something you can add, whether that's a physical thing or a psychological or mental.
Well, your life yourself is a gift on loan.
Totally.
So all of existence can be torn from you in an instant.
So, and that's the question, right? So all that stuff's torn from you. Can you still have joy? Can you still have that satisfaction? Can you still have that moment? And I think the biblical answer is yes.
Yeah, I think
it?
So.
I believe so.
Yeah. Why? I mean, why is what is that in the Bible? I mean, you have some. I think you looked up some Bible verses on this a little bit on what it would.
I did.
I would love to hear.
They're all verses too that I feel like I've read and known for so long, but it's amazing how sometimes it takes on a whole other presence when you read it and when you're studying it. But I feel like I can see kind of a clear, defined difference between just happiness mm-hmm. and truly a lot of things that can be torn away in your life. And I think for me, I just want to fight so badly for that joy too. So maybe mm-hmm. it's also in my mind, I want that joy so badly that I'm like, nope, nothing can take that away from me, like mm-hmm. above all. But I really truly believe that God gives us that. And I do believe it can't be taken away. I do mm-hmm. know that we can become very sad, discouraged, defeated, feeling completely lost. But I do feel that this is something that when you have the Lord and you are seeking him, you will have it. Mm. And so it is there. And so I always try to encourage people, like, don't feel it's completely gone. Mm. Like, there yeah. is something, there is some type of little fire in there that has joy. And I just think too, yeah, it's something that I just fight for every day.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I believe that's actually a grace and mercy from the Lord that he places in my mind and heart that I just
a
love
it. A gift of the Spirit, maybe?
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah.
Is that something that you've always experienced since, like, you first started following Jesus, or is that a new thing?
Hmm. I believe it's actually been there for, I've known Jesus since I was very little,
okay.
like single digits little,
yep.
And loved Jesus with all my heart since that little. So I do believe it's been there, but I definitely have seen it grow and me understand it more as I've gone through certain situations.
Were those things like loss, or was it like happy stuff, or both, or
things that make me grieve and feel really hurt? And, I mean, I could go on and on with the list, but words like that, are heavy.
Yeah. Pain, suffering, sorrow, and loss.
Yep. Exactly.
And the fruit has been joy.
And I know it maybe makes no sense, but truly I feel like that has been God's gift to help me keep going.
Yeah, that's
because
amazing.
I've said to Justin over and over, I don't know what I would do without the Lord and having the Holy Spirit give me joy like this.
Yeah,
because if you think about it, in without the Lord, it feels very lost. Mm-hmm. And so this joy that I know comes from the Holy Spirit, just it's a gift. It mm-hmm. really is, because it's what brings me peace also. Mm-hmm. But I don't mean to go to the next another
that's
fruit.
Next week you can't talk about that at all.
Yeah. That's cool.
Well, they are connected. It's one of those things we're talking, it's the fruit of the Spirit, not just
fruit.
So it is hard
singular.
To there's some overlap. I just clapped my microphone, but there is some overlap there.
There is.
You know, actually, Molly, you mentioned some things. Would you mind sharing some of your story just so people can have some context of what you're talking about?
So I mentioned earlier how a unique thing about our family is just the medical needs that we walk through. Hmm. I'm going to read a little bit if that's okay,
totally
so that
fine.
I can stick to kind of what this is. But a little bit about our story. I kind of said who we are, but we're originally from the Midwest and moved out to Washington over 10 years ago. I dealt with health issues my whole life. Justin started dating me when I was very sick. Our dating relationship consisted of some deep and serious conversations of what the future may look like. We married knowing that there were a lot of unknowns in our future, but trusting the Lord in whatever was ahead. We both felt called to adopt children with medical needs. We felt like God had been preparing us through the hard health issues I dealt with to love on little ones that needed medical care as well. Zeke joined our family in 2014. He went through multiple surgeries within the first year of being in our family, and he's doing really well and is continuing his medical care with some ups and downs, but doing great. Isla joined our family in 2017. We knew Isla could have some serious medical needs, but were unaware of how serious they were. Within a couple of weeks of having her home, we were told by leading doctors at Children's Hospital here that her condition was so rare, so complex, and severe that there was nothing to do to help her. She would not live more than about a year. Sorry. We were gutted and cried out to the Lord for miracles. Long story short, there's so much more to it, but Isla still has her life-threatening condition, but she has surgery at a hospital across the country every 6 months. She deals with pain and so many doctor visits, but the Lord has done great miracles in her life, and right now she's thriving. My health has declined in the last few years. Life has been incredibly stressful and hard for us. We joke that we live part-time at home and part-time at the doctor office, but it's our real reality. Mm-hmm. We live out our days having to discuss serious topics and make serious decisions. Many realities in our life feel so stressful, and we often feel defeated. But God. We lean into our relationship with the Lord. We honestly feel so desperate to, which in fact is a blessing. We have, we can have joy in knowing the Lord is producing a growing faith in us through our trials. And a verse that really he laid on our hearts deeply before Isla even got home was Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Mm. Because of his great grace and mercy, we feel joy despite our circumstances. This does not mean we always feel happiness at all moments of the day, but it does mean that there is a greater purpose and plan in it all. The Lord has done mighty things in our life and for us all. We have hope because of the Lord, and through that we get to experience joy even through difficulty. Hmm. And my personal journey, just I really truly feel that deep desire to delight in the Lord and just grasp onto that joy that he gives.
Isla, what is joy?
Heart.
Your heart.
Yeah.
I love you.
So there's delight in there. Mm-hmm. There's a sense of significance.
Yeah.
And a satisfaction in that that is... It's not like you delight in the circumstances.
No.
I don't like them, though.
Yeah.
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 What does rejoicing look like? That element of expressing joy is like a celebratory thing that I talked about earlier.
Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always.
Again, I say rejoice.
Yeah. So like, what's the expression look like?
Do you mean like what causes us to have that feeling even through that, or
question? Like, how do you, so if joy is that abiding sense of security, satisfaction, significance, delight, not in your circumstances, but in the Lord, then what does the expression of that look like for your family?
Oh man, I feel like that's deep.
Leave it to McGregor.
That's McGregor.
I know.
By the way. Yes.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to think about it a little bit, but
can I ask you a question regarding that? Like maybe, and if I'm going off the rails here, tell me to
bring her. No.
I almost wonder, hearing some of your story, if you wouldn't have learned about joy without some of the really intense things that you've experienced, you know, in some ways. And that sounds a little heartless for me to say out loud.
No, I agree with that, though. I would say that.
You have a depth to you that when I was hearing you kind of read your story there, I just realized, man, I don't understand joy as well as Molly does, you know, and I don't have. So I've had plenty of pain in my life, and we can label those things out and talk about those. But I think you've experienced some things that have actually created a little more depth. So how have you kept that sense of like trust,
hope,
existential feelings of love and affection towards God that get expressed in joy? How do you do that? Each day, you know?
I think for sure it's that we as a family dig into the Word. We're in the Bible with our kids, with each other. We're not perfect in all of it. Like, I just want to say that. We're not this family that like perfectly opens like our Bible and are joyful at all times. That's not the case. But I think we do want to fight for that, and we want to teach our kids to fight for that, because they have experienced things that some kids their age have no idea what that looks like.
Yep.
They've experienced trauma. They've walked through now these medical things. They've had anxieties. They've had all those things. But I think we truly try to celebrate the little things. We try to, be so thankful that we get to be a family and be a team. We call ourselves Team Sindelar. We get to cheer one another on. We get to just look at everything God has done, because there is always something to rejoice about, regardless of how heavy the day is. And I know sometimes maybe Justin gets sick of me saying it, but I'm like, regardless of how heavy, we have to fight for the things that we see that we can be thankful for.
Okay, so rejoicing is not an infinite regress of painting silver clouds around your circumstances.
No.
Cool. But it is. It does sound like a practice of gratitude at the same time.
That's just it. Yeah. I think that thankfulness and praising the Lord has a lot to do with joy, actually.
Yeah. If I can bring this up, you said right before we got started here that you're learning how to be honest about your situations in life and things like that. which I thought was cool because in that, even though you can say, man, life is hard right now, I actually see a deep sense of satisfaction and joy in you, even though you can be honest. I think, Tom, you probably hit on something there, that sense of like, I think people out there might listen to this thinking to be joyful, you must be bubbly and you must be an extrovert. And you must be...
Well, and diluted. No, seriously.
It does. It makes
like,
sense.
Totally. Have you looked at your circumstances and you're joyful? I just knew Christians were a bunch of liars.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
are you paying attention? Are you?
Yeah, but like I think about the people that I know that are truly holy. Like you realize what a saint looks like at the end of life, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody who's faithfully followed Jesus, and there's a long history of pain and suffering and sorrow and a like incredible contagious sense of joy. They're the most joyful people I've ever met. I'm thinking about people in Portland and some people I suspect are that way that I've gotten to know a little bit here as well.
Yeah. I've definitely run into people as well throughout my life where they got a diagnosis. They got, you know, they had an experience. They lost someone close to them. And the grief is there. It's surfacey. You can see it. You can experience it. You can actually feel it with them at some level, you know.
Yeah.
But there's also a sense of calmness somewhere deep down. That's
stability.
They're settled.
Yeah. And that's and I'm not picking on people that, you know, if you're in the middle of losing someone or getting that diagnosis or whatever it is, I'm not saying it's necessarily always
get
there.
Get it together.
Come on. No. Yeah.
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 So,
come
so
on.
Hard.
You can be joyful, you know, that sounds horrible.
I hear that in you, an honesty about what life is really like, that I think is compelling to somebody who hasn't experienced real joy. They've maybe experience some bits of happiness, but
which in some way why, you know, I would say that Christian joy is not based on circumstances, right?
I think it,
and it should grow. It should be a growing thing in a believer's life, and there may be a two steps forward, you know, three steps back thing at some point along the way.
For sure. But I also think it can't be the same thing as happiness. I mean, if it's happiness, then what we have is not necessarily special. Because people can become happy by either acquiring more things or more safety or whatever.
Yep.
Whereas, you know, for the Christian, anything that attacks what they love in this world actually takes them closer to the Lord, actually takes them closer to the love of their loves, basically the love of all loves. It's a mercy in a way.
Totally.
Whereas someone who does not know Christ, it's taking away things that are their reasons for living in a way. So if your life is built on joy in the Lord, then you do in a way become indestructible in those things. And not necessarily, again, you're not bulletproof technically. I mean, you're going to hurt.
Yep.
But there's a joy and a satisfaction and a stability underneath it.
Yes.
So we've answered that question. Joy and happiness are not the same thing.
I think so. Well, and heard a story that somewhat illustrates
it super well. Thank
you for
sharing, by the
way. Thanks
for being vulnerable.
That's an honor to hear your story and hear
glad to share
lessons learned and walking through. I wonder, can we talk a bit about what the Bible says about joy?
Yes.
I think we had mentioned a second ago, like there's some really cool passages in Scripture that actually bring up joy. You even mentioned McGregor a second ago. You pulled out your old thesaurus, which is a trusty tool.
I'd love to know in looking at Scripture, I'd love to know what is unique about Christian joy? Like what can we see in Scripture we've talked around it here a little bit already, but what can we find about Christian joy in Scripture?
Yeah. I mean, you read in places, like the Psalms are filled.
I think
that should almost be the starting point of like what we should think about when it comes to joy. And interesting enough, the psalmists are all emotional.
Oh yeah. They're crazy.
And you run into lots of there. But I mean, you got Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I mean, just pause and think about that for a second. Where does joy come from? It doesn't come from a thing. It comes from the presence of the Lord.
Right.
Actually, that's a question to even think about. Have you felt the presence of the Lord in your pain and suffering? Is that where that, I wonder if there's a piece of joy that comes from that. Has that been, have you felt the Lord near you in the middle of troubles?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much. And I do think that that's where joy is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. Psalm 30, 4 and 5, sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Don't we sing that song, Rex? You probably know.
Yeah, I think that's a theme in a lot.
We've sung that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Psalm 66, shout for joy to God all the earth. It actually tells us to shout for joy there. Yeah. Sing the glory of his name, give to him glorious praise. Man, it seems really cool to know that in the Psalms there's kind of an abundance of commands to seek out joy, to look for joy, to rejoice in the Lord, and to find that there.
Yes.
I don't know, what are some other places you guys have seen there's some scripture on joy?
I think of Psalm 51. I don't know if that's in the notes you gave, but in there, like it's David talking. He's asking God to restore his joy. And what's curious about that is that it's a psalm of repentance. So it's back to what we were talking about in, I think, Psalm 16 you mentioned. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. So it's almost like David has been cast away from his, but he even says that, cast me not away from your presence and restore to me the joy of your salvation. So it's almost like he's begging for the Lord to forgive and be close again, because that's where his joy is found.
Well, there's a lesson there, right? Like maybe one of the practical pieces of that is we can ask the Lord to help us with joy, you know, like restore to me joy. Absolutely. You know, Lord, please help me be joyful. Like if you're out there and you struggle with being a joyful person, that's one of the things where you can say to the Lord, Lord, help me, restore to me that joy that I find only in you, only find in your presence, only find with what you give me and not what I desire here on earth. Yeah.
I think of Romans 5, which is just such a weird passage, but he says, because we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about the relational stuff and how we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And then he's like, and not only that, but we also, we rejoice in our sufferings. And this is because what we know about suffering, that it produces, perseverance and character and hope, and that hope doesn't bring shame, but that, God's love has been poured out into us through the Spirit. That God's given himself to us, that we have relationship with him through faith is like the beginning, and that we have relationship through with him through Spirit. And that gives us the ability to express joy in the midst of things that don't seem very joyful from the world's perspective.
Well, it's funny. I mean, you mentioned that. I also thought of James 1. Because right off the bat, says, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds.
Dude, it seems like the Bible is just rife with trial and joy.
But they're always intertwined. I feel like they go together. They do.
Yeah, which you illustrated really well a second ago. You know, can I nerd out for just a second? I hope I can.
Totally.
This is a really interesting thing. I remember I got interested in the kind of etymology of words years ago when I was doing my Greek and Hebrew studies, which some people are going to like zone out right now, but
oh, it's fine. It's
I'm okay. Hoping you're going to talk about sassy.
Sassy? No.
Okay. I'll talk about sassy.
Okay.
Later.
Well, I'm going to talk about the Greek vocabulary. So interesting. There's words in the Greek Bible that stand for joy. And what's weird is they're all related. This is crazy. Like this is, and not always does this happen, but sometimes it does. Where you actually have words that kind of have similar meanings to each other, but they have a depth of meaning. I thought of this when you were saying something a second ago. So like, for example, here it is. The verb kairo is I rejoice. That's what you'd say. Kairo means I rejoice or to rejoice. The word kara is joy or delight. It's also translated as delight. It's also translated a million ways. It can be even translated happiness, believe it or not, I think. But then, interestingly enough, where this gets really interesting is that some people name their kids Carissa, which simply means what you think is grace. But it's the very same word as Cairo, Kara, Caris. These words are related. Grace and joy are intricately related linguistically in the Bible.
That's awesome.
Which is super interesting, you know, and I think of this as being this gift that God would give us in the midst of trials, in the midst of troubles. Also the encouragement for us to know that grace is a gift, you know, to us, and to find that to be also true of a fruit of the Spirit where joy is given to us as a gift, charis, kara, kairo, whatever it is. Anyway, talk about sassy.
Oh, yours is way better than mine. Just the Hebrew word for joy is sasson.
Oh. I didn't look in Hebrew. I looked only in Greek.
Sassy comes from, apparently.
Oh, my
God. I don't
know
what that means about sassy people. Like, maybe they're really joyful
or something.
They're really
happy, yeah.
Look at that. Look at your five-year-old the next time she's sassy with you. Oh, she's expressing joy.
Or the reminder that you need to be joyful at, you know, even though you're dealing with a five-year-old.
Who's being sassy.
Who's being sassy. Yeah.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hey, Zeke, what is joy?
I think joy is the fruit of the Spirit, and I think that joy is a happiness given by God that cannot be found in earthly things.
Okay, thanks, buddy.
You're welcome.
So I think from all of this, we can see, you know, what makes Christian joy unique is it's not based in circumstances. Yeah. It's like distinctly not. It's actually tied in a lot of cases in the Bible to, one, what Darren, you said, it's a gift. So it's something that's given to us that grows with us. But also it's expected that we have joy in circumstances that the world would not be happy in. So we know for a fact it's not based in circumstances. That's pretty cool. I don't know.
Cool.
I mean, where does it come from then? If it's not, I mean, we talked about God giving it as a gift, but where can we see the origin of a Christian's joy?
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, Molly. You'd mentioned gratitude as one of the things, but how do you guys?
That's great.
So maybe rejoicing, the act of expressing joy, and some of the ways that your family does that. But how do you guys like cultivate joy, not only between you and Justin, but also with your kiddos?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Not to keep going back to gratitude, but I think that that's something that's important as a parent in general, just teaching about being grateful for the little things. Because I think that we can often, in our culture, it's so easy to get what we need or what we want, and we have what we want and we move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And really seeing God at work and teaching them how to see that and being able to be grateful for that. Mm-hmm. And I already see, I'm not going to claim that it's because of how I teach my kids, truly, because they see enough of me not teaching them good things, too. But they already are starting to do that at a young age to say, hey, we can be grateful for this. Or Zeke the other day had something discouraging happen, and he just literally said, well, we'll make the best of it, and we're just going to be happy about this and joyful. And he wasn't trying to fake it till he makes it. Like, he truly had joy in his heart over it. And so that honestly teaches me so much to remember to be so grateful for all the little things, because oftentimes, personally, in our days, there are so many heavy things that we feel very either like we're drowning in it, or just really like it's so dark sometimes and hard to see through. And it can really weigh your mind down and weigh your heart down. And so that whole idea of, okay, but there is something I can be grateful for, even if it's saying, okay, I have water in a cup that I get to drink. I know that sounds crazy, but truly we should be thankful for that.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's always something to rejoice in. And then also just teaching about who God is. Who is he? What has he done for us? That in and of itself should bring joy and spark joy within us. That he, I had written down here, he, through his, you know, salvation through Jesus in and of itself is a joy for us, that we get that. And then that he is working things for our good and for his glory in Romans 8. I feel like that's just, it's such a big thing to just have every day in our minds. Because Jesus in and of himself should give us enough joy just to know who he is and be seeking him and be leaning on him in our trials. So those things are some. Yeah. There's more, but that's
such a good word. Karl Barth famously said, the worst sin is ingratitude. And I thought that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That is.
To be reminded of that. And it reminds me of what you just said. Like, that's compelling to me, what you said, to learn how to be grateful and to learn how to train yourself to be grateful. Because out of that can be the child of gratitude, which is probably joy in that sense, you know.
In my life, I feel like it has been.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that I'm always that way. Please, you guys know that. I don't. But it really is something that I've felt like God has worked on my heart greatly. And so I'm grateful for that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it shows up. I've seen that, knowing a little bit of you guys' story and watching you guys. I think of the Sindelar family as a family filled with joy. Mm. I really do. Mm-hmm. And to know your story means even more to go, man, how do you even do that? That's a miracle of God. And it's a cool testimony of what you and Justin are doing too in the midst of some hard situations.
Mm, mm-hmm. Thank you. God is very
super
good.
Super cool. Yeah. I have a practical thought too. So your question was ultimately, how do you find?
Yeah, how do you find? And I'd also say, how do you foster joy?
Foster joy.
How do you find it? Where does it come from?
This is going to seem like out of left field, but it's not totally, because we are supposedly in a month and just ending a month of kind of media fasting as a church. We've been talking about that a little bit. We kind of mentioned it once and then haven't done a great job.
Yeah, haven't really done much to talk about it.
Done much on it. But I think
it's been great.
Other people have, and I've done it. I've done the same thing as well. I think I have my own media things I like to do and like to join into, and I've done that less this month, which has been great. But I think actually some of the thievery of joy can happen when you get so sucked up in some of the things that are not eternal, in your presence there is fullness of joy, mm-hmm. not reflecting on being grateful, not reflecting on the Zeke moment, like let's make the best out of things. I think you can get so caught up in some of the bad news in the world that can rob not only your happiness, but I think it can also rob your joy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah.
That if you're not careful, and if you find yourself in that place where you've like, I'm in a hard time conjuring up joy, this is difficult to do. Almost you have to start asking yourself, what are you feeding yourself then?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Are you feeding yourself the helpful and things that are true of God, as Molly said a minute ago, true of his character, true of the work of Christ on our behalf and the work of redemption that he's done for us, and that he's working things for us for our good? Or are we too focused on the things that are out of our control in so many ways that actually can burden us down? I think of the numbers of coronavirus going up right now, and that can burden you down, you know, and that can steal your joy. Like I could feel like that could steal my joy, because I'm thinking, we're getting out of this. Yes, everything's going back to normal. And then I'm like seeing some news thing, and I'm just like bashing my head against the wall.
Yeah, I think the thing that you guys are kind of circling around is, what is the story you think you're a part of?
Yeah.
Because if you're a part of I forget who said it, but you know, whoever dies with the most toys wins. Kind of the American dream.
Well, that's
mentality.
The script that we're all kind of.
Yeah, that's what we're surrounded by, and what our television shows, our movies, our news, our like everything, reinforces this idea. And if that's the story we're a part of, then suffering is a great disruptor.
Yeah.
Right. And it's confusing and it doesn't make sense. If we're a part of the story you just told, Darren, where there's a good God who out of love created human beings and invited them into a universe to share his rule. And, you know, you kind of go through the gospel about how God becomes king through Jesus, the true human, and he suffers. Then suffering is not a confusing thing that happens and seems out of place in this world, but it's actually a part of a world outside of the garden that God is in the process of restoring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I can tag team on that real quick, and I feel like I'm preaching a couple sermons today, but I'm in this. So I thought of 1 Peter when I thought of this topic as well, because there's also... we could call it an eschatological part of joy. If you
that
want
means,
to,
eschatological means like, the dealing with end time.
End time, like there's a future hope, right? You know, like sorry,
thumbs up.
Nerd alert. But Peter writes, 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." What is that living hope? Give us that that through Christ's resurrection, which we get to share, is in verse 4, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. So this can't be taken away. Nothing's going to rust this thing. No one can steal it on this side of eternity. It can't be stolen. And that's a beautiful thing. And then it says, who by God's power being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So that goes to what you're saying, McGregor, is like there's a new creation that's being established, that we're part of that already. We're living that already. And then Peter has the audacity to say that in this you should rejoice. Though for a while now you've been facing trials. Which goes back to what Molly's saying, because then the whole context of First Peter is like the pain that you're experiencing on this side of eternity. But a reminder to look, in a sense, towards what God is doing and what he's building. Because right now he's genuinely testing and trying your faith, and it's refining it. Yeah. So,
Well, I think that trust is a huge part of it. I think keeping God on the throne of your life, not trying to put yourself there, is a big part of that. Because trusting the Lord with what's happening, that perspective that's been mentioned so many times here, is such a crucial part of joy. It's what's been alluded to, McGregor. If I'm in charge of my life and I'm making myself, you know, increasing net worth or whatever, I'm supposed to make myself happy, and I fail at that through suffering, then it's destroying my reason to live, basically. But if I trust the Lord, I trust that God is on the throne. I trust that Romans 8:28 is a verse that's not meant for like to the end of this week, but for all time, always, cosmically, God is working all things for good. I can have a perspective that lets me enjoy things in life. So it lets me enjoy, you know, whatever gadget or whatever, whatever TV show. But also understand that that's not what's giving me meaning. You know, my relationship, the presence of the Lord in my life is what's giving me meaning. And I can have joy in that, so that I can hold things open-handedly. I can hold things lightly, by keeping the Lord in his right spot and trusting him. So
good word. I bet you about 30 people thought to themselves, Loki, when you said for all time, always.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Interesting.
If you know Loki, you may not know. Everyone's looking at me like, what are you talking about? Yeah.
Greek god of chaos.
I think that's what he
means. It's the new thing on Disney Plus. I have teenagers who like
that. What happened to that media fest, Darren?
I know Nick Cage.
That's all news. Oh, no. We were talking about Nick Cage for this guy.
I would love to see a Marvel movie starring Nick Cage.
Yeah, so would I.
And the weird thing, friends, is that Tom McGregor's not joking.
Yeah, that's unironic.
I think he was supposed to be in a Superman. Anyway, this is a different conversation.
Yeah,
we should stop. Wow, that was crazy. Anything else that we need to say about Christian joy? I feel like we've talked about what it is, how it's differentiated from happiness, how to foster it, and at the same time with that, how not to hinder joy. What would you say to somebody who right now is in the midst of, this is for anybody, who's in the midst of a trial, in the midst of something hard, like brutal hard, and they are brutally unhappy, and they feel a bit hopeless. What would you say to them? How can they find joy?
Can I ask specifically to Molly on that one? Like, how has God's word brought you joy? You'd mentioned in your notes that we didn't get to today, but dwelling in the word and learning what the Lord has to say brings you joy. So to put a practical piece of it, that's you, what Rex just explained. Mm-hmm. How has the word brought you joy, in a sense? Like, what does that look like for you on a practical basis?
Being able to read truth and know that there are promises in that. So when everything else feels like it is taken away or hurting, to be able to say there's actual promises for me to hold on to is something that feels like I cherish that. It feels very loving from my Heavenly Father to be able to know that he has promises that he says to me that I can read in his word. I'm huge on encouragement. It's another one, joy, encouragement. I'm that person, that I just feel like he's so encouraging in his word. And I know there's so much that might, be difficult to read through and comprehend when you're walking through trials, but there truly is encouragement in his word. And it really is a balm for my soul, is how I would say it. For sure.
You wrote Psalm 119:111 down here. Your statutes are my heritage forever.
Yes.
They are the joy of my heart. That's what I hear you saying.
That's cool. He's good.
He is.
Yeah, getting around a community that will weep with you.
Yes.
Because we rejoice with those who rejoice. But
weep with those who weep.
So people that won't try to do the silver linings thing around that suffering.
Yes.
That will let you be honest about it, and then will respond appropriately with you. So you're not alone, and you're not pretending.
That's huge. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. There could still be a deep satisfaction, joy in the midst of weeping all night long, right?
You know,
that can that can still be there. Those can exist together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, y'all. Well, let's land this plane.
Yeah, thanks, Molly. This was super helpful. Thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
We are blessed to have the Sindelar family as part of our church. Yeah. And I don't just say that because you're on the podcast. I think you help us understand joy in a better and more tactile way. So thanks for being public and honest with your story by joining us today.
Oh, thank you for listening. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys, thanks so much for joining us. If you have any questions about what was shared here, if you have any thoughts of your own, reach out to us, podcast@imprintchurch.org. But until next week, we will see you later.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.